You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course if it wasn't, and it had to get done, it must be done, you did it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we appreciate you. You don't put stuff off. You get it done, and you do it safely. That's right. You masked up, keep your distance, your hands is clean, because you know, even though there's been some, you know, opening up of some venues and places and areas of around the country, just like they went mad this past weekend in Miami, man. Ooh, I'm telling you, I don't understand it. I really don't. With almost 600 million people dead. You know, on this program, I have played some things and said some things that makes us understand or helps us understand this pandemic and put it into proper context and helps us understand the vaccinations and so forth, but the things that we need to do to keep ourselves safe, the things that we need to take. If you don't want to take the vaccine, that's your choice. But one thing that must be done is you must remain safe. You must take a lot of vitamin D and eat properly and get rest and get in the sun, you know. Because it's real. It's real. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And thanks to my good brother, Kwaku, appreciate dated and titled. And some of the latest are up there. In fact, we're going to put the latest ones we're doing now up there on the website. So, and there that'll be. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Tonight, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds. And that's followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays. And on Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern,
It's time for an awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. Time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Eastern. On Saturdays from 4 to 6. On Saturdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And Sunday from 7 p.m. until, time for an awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And when you go to the website, of course, all those products are produced. They're produced by us. But they're also raising money to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. That's right, brothers and sisters. Here in Atlanta, so-called Black Mecca, we ain't got a damn supermarket. And a lot of other stuff we ain't got either. So, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. He has a trip upcoming. It is next Thursday, I think it is. Next Thursday or Friday that he's leaving for Senegal and Gambia. Senegal and Gambia from April 2nd through the 12th. And then the next trip will be May 24th to June 5th. He's going back to back. May 24th to June 5th. And then the one that's coming up is Tanzania. And that is November 18th through the 29th. They have a new president in Tanzania. I'll talk about that later. And then the last trip of the year, December 24th to January 5th of 2022, to Ghana. That's Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Everything you need to make this a trip of a lifetime for you is going to be on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Rinoco, he has a trip upcoming. He had his webinar this past weekend, and he has a trip upcoming. That's going to be in August 1st through the 14th to Kemet. August 1st through the 14th, and I'm quite sure details will be coming up. And if you want to take advantage of Baba Rinoco, Dr. Rinoco going to Kemet, that's something you should do. Definitely, definitely something you should do because, it's going to be, as he says, a trip of a lifetime. And so there's an update on it. And there's some good pictures on it. So, yeah, Baba Rinoco, August 1st through the 14th, he shows some good pictures. Go online. He shows the cruise ships on the Nile. Yeah, that's fantastic, believe me, to sail. You're sailing north because, the Nile River flows from south to north. So you take a flight down, go down to Aswan, and then you board the cruise ships, and then you sail north down the Nile. So there's some pictures of Kemet and what you're going to see. So it's definitely worth it. Sorry about that, family. Sorry about that. So, that's Baba Rinoco. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the programs they have are just fantastic. The sustainable agriculture that they have. And, Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. They also have a program that you can learn from. And so it's definitely worth your while to check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. Because they want to help us do work, physical work, on the continent. That's right. The Ledge Group, TheLedgeGroup.com. The Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group. Of course, they have a raffle to win a trip, a safari in Tanzania. And if you go to the online, you'll get the details. And of course, they deal with the four areas that are vital to people, human development. And that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have over 12 projects in six countries and over 172 employed and over 260 members. And they need more members. Go to theledgegroup.com. Bibiatumi.com. Every Saturday he has the series, the Saturday lecture series. Bibiatumi.com. Bibiatumi.com. You should go to Bibiatumi. Make that a favorite. Go there periodically. Become a member and so forth. And this is this Saturday. And the title is Integration, Apartheid, and Untouchability. Integration, Apartheid, and Untouchability. That is at 9 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. 9 a.m. I don't have to do basketball this weekend. Damn. It's, every weekend for a month. I had to deal with it. But hey, this is my grandsons. This is what they do. They're down with it. They're not bad. And of course, as high as advanced or secondary education is vital. Scholarships are necessary. Man. So, but this weekend, so go to bbtumi.com and check out. It's going to be Brother Abadele Kamban. As he discusses the problematic tradition in which integration is to occur between anyone who happens to be on the African continent without regard for whether or not such integrationism is in the ultimate interest of African people. And he looks at three lessons where integration has been proclaimed as a solution for anti-black genocides. It's interesting. He has he's dynamic, believe me. It's definitely worth your while to go on to bibiatumi.com, you know, get the tickets for this Saturday seminar, Integration, Apartheid, and Untouchability, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific. But it's worth getting up for. All right. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And for more information, call our sister, Shirley Amonsette. Give her a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. They have some beautiful products. Believe me, it's just dynamic. I want to apologize. I wasn't able to make the Saturday program that Brother Kim Water was being acknowledged for. Brother Kimwardo Moore and Sister Shelly Amonsette, a beautiful couple. That's beautiful pictures, man. Y'all look great. You really did. It's what a pleasure. But what's the irony is that the program was in my neighborhood on Ralph David Abernathy. I live in this near the West End neighborhood, but I was unable to, and I apologize. And I I owe you. But to me, one of the things that we all can do is support this brother and sister in their business. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And, of course, give our sister a call at 404-434-7963. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she's open. She's got a lot more space, so check her out. Give her a call and see if she has the book that you desire. If she doesn't, of course, she'll get it for you. Or she'll say, I got it. Come on in and check us out at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. And once again, they have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff for you at the Mendu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is Brother Kazimde Ajamu at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here in Atlanta. And he also has a coffee shop. That's right, serving delicious Cameroon Boyo. Check my brother out. Give him a call to see if he has the book that you're requesting. He may have it. And if not, once again, he'll get it for you at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Kazimde Ajamu at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have so much stuff there at Wadada's, man, I tell you. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, doing an outstanding job of educating our young children. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, .org. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby Aurelia. Check that out. Baba Baruti with Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, Cash App, the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Okay? And if you want to buy books of Baba Baruti's, AkabinHouse.com. Go to AkabinHouse.com and order your books from Baba Baruti. Yeah, Baba Baruti has a program coming up, security. What is that? Common Sense Security. That's coming up next month. I'll give you more information on Common Sense Security. Like I said, I saw some really beautiful pictures of my good brother and sister, Brother Kimwardo, and his lovely, his beautiful compliment, Sister Shelly Amonsette. And I'm trying to look for this one piece that I had for Baba Baruti. I don't see it right here. But what I will do is I'll have that information, of course, for you. Because it ain't till next month anyway. Okay? It ain't till next month. So, yes. Mama Baino. Mama Baino Bello of Haiti. She is still here. She is still here in the States. She's here in Atlanta. And because Haiti is a mess. It is a mess. But she's going to do a presentation, The Battle at Crete et Parat. Crete et Parat. You know, I don't speak Creole. I don't speak French. I don't even speak this shit. too well. But I should take those classes, brothers and sisters. Go to BB Atuman. You can take classes in Medu Netcher, Akan, Yoruba, and of course, Kiswahili, which of course I think that's the move we should all make. Kiswahili. You know. But they have a program this Thursday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, this Thursday, by Yina and friends. The guests, the battle at Kiparat, and with one of those sisters who were battling, and, you know, is the 219th anniversary of that battle. And she was going to be, Baba Baina would be the host. And a special guest, Dr. Wade Nobles, Professor James Small, and Dr. Renoka Rashidi, and Sister Isaiah Dante. She's an attorney. And she's been on Time for an Awakening program, just an outstanding sister in Haiti from a legal standpoint. Outstanding. So that is going to be this Thursday. It is on Zoom. You have to register. It's on Zoom. Yep. And so, and let me get that for you. Brothers and sisters, if you can jot this down, it's going to be dynamic, believe me. Here's how you register, www.fondasyonfelicite.com. Fondasyonfelicite.com. But that's how it is. I'm going to repeat it one more time. www.fondasyonfelicite.com. And if you got any problems with that, give me a call at 414-414-324-5796. That is my number. If you want to give me a call, and if you didn't get it right, wherever you are, I'll try to make my best to make it happen for you. Aha. So Mama Baina. And I'm going to get her on the program, hopefully next week. Hopefully next week after this program, I'm going to get her on the program. Believe me, she's been on before, but she is dynamic in the history that she knows. And she's fearless. She's like what we're going to talk about today, warrior queens. She could be put into that. In fact, her and Marimba Ani, these are warrior queens. Believe me. Ashe. Oh, the Inye Say Sim, a daily revolutionary thought, and I'm going to say this before I go into this. This is a deep one, because they're talking about bestiality in the European. March 21st. A dog is a man's best friend, but a canine can't be mine. Y'all know that, right? War. Dog is a man's best friend, but a canine can't be mine. There may indeed be a convincing reason why there has been a dramatic increase in the number of European females who own dogs that goes well beyond personal protection. Given the significance and growing shortage of available qualified heterosexual men, dogs, as well as other domesticated and domesticable animal, including bears, pigs, snakes, and mice, serve as a surrogate sexual partner. It would not be reaching far to suggest that family photos of European females and their dogs often carry a much deeper meaning than what meets the eye. In addition, as people age, the number of male continues to dwindle, but at an even more dramatic rate than before. But the sex imperative does not. Therefore, we would suspect dogs to become even more useful to European females as they grow older. Affirm, I do not practice bestiality. Affirm, I do not practice bestiality. Bestiality, pedophilia. Brothers and sisters, all of these things were not on the African continent. I told you about a brother that I knew who was a Yoruba priest. Very astute, a scholar, an elder, Baba Manahochi. If some of you may know him, you may know what I'm talking about. His wife gave me my name, Oshiemi Adelabu. And he said, I have studied African cultures nowhere. Let me repeat, I have studied African cultures. Nowhere have I found homosexuality. But of course, Europeans, they want you to believe that homosexuality is something that has been on this planet from day one and has been part of every culture. They try to make it part of the Kemetic culture. But have you seen any medunature, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs of homosexuality? No. Have you seen any statues? See any statues of any? No. Okay. I will certainly do that, Mama Nabantu. I will definitely do that. Send you the link on that, because she emailed me. So I'll send it to you and anybody else who wants it, so you can be a part of this program on this Thursday. from 1 to 3 Eastern. From 1 to 3 Eastern with Mama Baina Bello. March 22nd. The mentality of death originates from feelings of nothingness and hopelessness. Only self-awareness can prevent the nothingness and give rise to hope. Self-awareness must be taught. Let me repeat. Self-awareness must be taught. A mentality of death must also be taught. The power to miseducate and kill, or educate and let live, comes from whoever does the teaching. It comes from whoever does the teaching. Michael Porter. We must teach our children to value completion. Do not allow them to quit anything that they try that makes empowering sense. Make them to understand that quitting is never a warrior's option. The degree to which this is intergenerationally done is an indicator of a people's power and success. It is indicative of their ability to gain and sustain power and sovereignty. Even if it's at this point in time, the active, engaged people is but a small segment. Yeah, it is us who are a small segment. But damn it, we got to continue on. We got to be as strong as we can be, to be the models consistently and continuously. Our children must learn the value in falling only to rise better. And doing that again and again and again, and each time rising stronger. They must be made to understand that resilience is ma'at. They must become open to it through our socialization of them into thought, word, and deed, and practice. In the end, we cannot do this for them. Let me repeat. In the end, we cannot do this for them. We cannot absorb their pain nor be their joy if they are to become victorious Africans. These lessons they must experience on their own. Those ancestral powers which are already there, waiting to strengthen them, must be tapped into through their own efforts and awareness. But we must teach it. We must be the examples, the models. We, brothers and sisters, must live it. Affirm, I am aware of the influence of my words have on innocent minds and direct them toward empowering self-awareness. Affirm, I am aware of the influence my words have on innocent minds and direct them toward an empowering self-awareness. That's why, to me, one of the most important things that we can be is true. Speak truth. Be African. Be the model. Don't be accountable. Don't say one thing and do another. Be the model. What we do for ourselves depends upon what we think of ourselves, and what we think of ourselves depends upon what we know of ourselves, and what we know of ourselves depends upon what we have been told. Who's doing the telling? That's why that this last piece of Inye Sesim that I just read is so vitally important. What we do for ourselves, what we think of ourselves, what we know of ourselves depends upon what we have been told. We must do the telling. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior, your attitude, excuse me. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. That's why we're in such chaos, because what we think is so negative, and our behavior towards each other is so evil and ugly. But it can be changed simply by changing your mind, your philosophy, what you think. Instead of thinking that our women are bitches, hoes, and hoochies, we think of them as the queens they are. That's what we're going to talk about today. The strong women, the beautiful women that they are. Because if you thought other, then you treat them like that. But if you thought about them as the beautiful women, the strong women that they are, that deserve to be supported. You will treat them with love, care, and support. The same goes with the brothers. It begins with what you think. It ends with what you do, what your philosophy is, and what your actions are. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builder, spade, and shovel, the masons, troll, and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Great ancestor, Brother Lester Velt Middleton. And I mentioned this before, that you can go online to YouTube and put his name in, and all the great interviews he did with our warrior scholars, men and women. And the fact that our past ASCAC, we talked about him, and he is a builder. He built the house for himself in North Carolina for him and his family, his wife. Unfortunately, he passed before it was totally completed. But check out Lester Velt Middleton, because those interviews with Dr. Clark and John G. Jackson and Ivan von Sertima and Dr. Ben and Chancellor Williams and some of our sisters, Barbara Sizemore, Frances Cress, her birthday was last week, and we gave honor to her, rightfully so. Yeah. So, I'm trying to figure out where am I? Okay, let's get off into what we're talking about today. That's what we need to do. Get off into what we're talking about today. This being Women's Month. And to me, there, you know, Women's Month is every month. You know, for us, as those of us who understand and love and understand how important our women are, our compliments are. But we also understand, too, that in our history, you know, there have been some sisters who have just been dynamic, who just stepped to the fore. Even sometimes when brothers did not, they did. And they need to be recognized for all their efforts, because we need them and they need us. It's a complementarity. Like I said, homosexuality was not happening on the continent. When you see the Medu Netcher, when you see the statues, the artwork, there's always a male and a female. And not that that the man is ahead and she's behind. Most times they're side by side. These are the top female pharaohs or kings, or those who ruled in Kemet. We're going to talk about them, and then the top five warrior queens. This is from my good brother, Home Team. I love Home. That's a good brother, man. I really like to find out I can get in touch with that cat, man. And I'm going to try to get in touch with him and Sister Sarah Kara Poole of the Black Griot, man, because they're just beautiful people and they put off good stuff and they deserve to be supported. This is the five top female pharaohs, those who would be king. I mean, obviously we know Hatshepsut, he's going to highlight her, of course, but there are others that many of us may not know, and we should know.
One thing that seems to be prevalent within African culture that seems to almost unify the continent is the presence of a matrilineal system. Under a matrilineal system in most African societies, inheritance rights and kinship allegiance pass via the mother. In essence, in most African societies, you were royalty because of who your mother's family was. We see this matrilineal system demonstrated very early on in Egyptian mythology and culture and religion. The matriarchal system was a social manifestation of planetary laws. Isis represented the sun and Osiris the moon. The light of the moon is a reflection of the light of the sun. And it is through this concept that women in Egypt exhibited numerous forms of freedom and control, like being the owners of property and being able to pass down wealth. At times, Egyptian women had to remind the men that they were the sun. What up, African world? It's your boy Home Team here, and I'm back at it with another video of African history, culture, and worldview. And don't forget that you can gain full access to African history courses and sources by going to Patreon. All sources to this video will be posted there, and you can show your support by clicking on the link in the description box below. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the top five female pharaohs of Egypt. Now, like mentioned before, the matrilineal system in Egypt was very prominent in Egyptian society, though it wasn't perfect. In positions of power, Egyptian women still had their struggles, especially when it came to the all-powerful position of pharaoh. Now, there have been many women in Egyptian society who wielded loads of power and influence. In fact, it's kind of hard to count them all. Powerful Egyptian queens who in many cases ruled in their own right, like Queen Ti. But this list is not about powerful Egyptian queens who wielded mass amounts of authority over Egyptian society. This list is composed of queens who literally made it very clear that they were pharaohs. The behavior of men throughout world history is pretty predictable, to say the least, and we can assume that Egyptian men probably didn't take it too kindly as women took the title as pharaoh. So the significance of these Egyptian women initiating themselves as not just queen but pharaoh is pretty significant. So let's begin with the top five female pharaohs in ancient Egypt. Coming in at number five, we have Pharaoh Sobeneferu. Now, Pharaoh Sobeneferu reigned as pharaoh after the death of her brother, Amenemhat. She was the last ruler of the 12th dynasty of Egypt and governed Egypt for almost 4 years, from 1804 to 1802 BC. Her name literally means the beauty of Sobe. Sobe being an Egyptian deity with a complex and fluid nature. Fragments of statues, including part of a sphinx, give her full titles as the female Horus, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt. She left no doubt that she proclaimed herself as pharaoh. Now, for those of you who might not know, there's actually no such thing as a female Horus in Egyptian religion. So she literally made that up so as to align herself with religious legitimacy on the throne. Next at number four, we have our most controversial pharaoh, Pharaoh Neferneraten. Now, Pharaoh Neferneraten was a ruler of Egypt towards the end of the Amarna period during the 18th dynasty. Scholars debate on who this person actually was, but her gender is largely confirmed by feminine traces occasionally found in epithets and naming conventions that were displayed throughout Egypt. She reigned for just 3 years. The interesting thing about this female pharaoh is that we have two candidates for her, but the most likely candidate is Queen Nefertiti. When Pharaoh Akhenaten died, it's likely that Nefertiti took full control and for whatever reason, changed her name, perhaps to suit the role. One of the best evidences we have for Nefertiti becoming pharaoh is the depiction of Nefertiti smiting Egypt's enemies, a role assigned only to the pharaoh of Egypt. Thus, it seems as though Nefertiti took on this role as pharaoh in full, even going as far as using social and political symbolism to affirm her place as king. Breaking our top three, we have Pharaoh Wasret. Pharaoh Wasret was the last known ruler and the final pharaoh of the 19th dynasty of Egypt. Wasret became pharaoh in possibly the most unapologetically gangster fashion there is. She straight up killed her stepson, who she was co-regent to, and simply called herself pharaoh. Not only did she reportedly kill her stepson, she included the number of years he reigned and added it to her own as pharaoh. I'm sure that history is far more layered than we give it credit, because that is total disrespect and probably one of the bravest acts a woman could do in ancient times. Wasret was clearly a woman with powerful ambition, and nothing was going to stop her from becoming pharaoh of Egypt. Inscriptions of Wasret's name appear in several locations found at Abydos, Hermopolis, Memphis, and even in ancient Nubia. Coming in at number two, we have Pharaoh Merneith. Now, Pharaoh Merneith is important and unique, not to just Egyptian history, but to all world history in general. Pharaoh Merneith is the first attested occasion in early Egyptian history when a woman held full power as king. Out of all the pharaohs of Egypt, she was the first female pharaoh and probably one of the first women rulers in all of human history. Pharaoh Merneith came to the throne around 2900 BC. Merneith was so powerful that she earned a tomb alongside the other first dynasty kings in the royal cemetery of Abydos. Pharaoh Merneith used her regency to take on real power and authority, and once she had it, evidence suggests that she did not relinquish it until her death. She paved the way for all the women pharaohs generations to come. And what we've all been waiting for, coming in at number one, we have Pharaoh Hatshepsut. Now, Pharaoh Hatshepsut was the fifth pharaoh of the 18th dynasty. She is generally regarded by Egyptologists as one of the most successful pharaohs, reigning longer than any other female pharaoh before her, a reign of about 21 years. Some assign her as one of the first great women in human history. Hatshepsut established the trade networks that had been disrupted during the Hyksos occupation of Egypt. She literally built the wealth of 18th dynasty Egypt. She commissioned hundreds of building projects across Upper and Lower Egypt and maintained a great reputation for their quality. Her projects were so good that later male Egyptian pharaohs tried to claim her accomplishments as their own. Pharaoh Hatshepsut did not at all shy away from the title of pharaoh. In fact, she made it very clear that she was. Pharaoh Hatshepsut actually set an example for other pharaohs after her with her leadership style, and that afforded her many haters. Rulers after her tried to erase her from history due to the sheer excellence she portrayed as ruler. Pharaoh Hatshepsut is not only the greatest female pharaoh in Egyptian history, but she is arguably one of the top 10 pharaohs in Egyptian history, period. All these women embrace fully the role of pharaoh of Egypt, not adorning themselves in complacency, but boastfully establishing themselves as ruler of all. When we look at Egypt, we are looking at one of the greatest civilizations coming out of the African continent. The matrilineal system accompanying this greatness being a very common and familiar African social structure, allowing for such historic events to occur. The fact that an African nation made room for power amongst women is very unique, especially for its time. It's a testament to the fluidity, openness, and progressiveness of African culture and the exceptionalism of African women. Well, I'm all out, guys. Remember, you can support the home team on Patreon to gain full access to exclusive content, courses, and sources. The link is in the description box below. Know thyself. Remember your ancestors. Peace.
That's my boy, Tag Team. Home Team. Excuse me, not Tag Team. Home Team. Yeah, I tell you, I really love listening to that young man and his research and so forth. The next we're going to play after the break is the top five warrior African queens, and discuss them and anything else about the sisters and the struggles that we have, and why we as brothers need to start to deal with our compliments in a respectful manner and embrace them and have them embrace us. We need each other. If we are going to do anything as a people, we have to do this together. We have to do this together. And we have to be the model for our children. So, we're going to, we got a few more minutes before the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, we're going to take that break. And then come back with more information and talk about our sisters, our women. These are the African warrior queens.
Then I'll see if I can find some information on sisters here. You know, the sisters here have been dynamic in spite of what the society has done. You know, when you think of real strong sisters like Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, many people always talk about her quote, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." I mean, I can understand that, and we should be. But her quote of never to forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over is just, to me, is one of the top quotes in our history, particularly in this sojourn and this madness. In our sojourn and this madness here, in this insanity, that is one of the top quotes. Never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Many other great women. Ida B. Wells. What a strong woman. What a beautiful woman. I just think, to my see Ida B. Wells, like, man, she was fine. She's a beautiful woman. You know? But they all are because of their spirit, because of their tenacity and their desire for us to be who we should be. These women are just dynamic. And Ida B. Wells, of course, her story. This Friday, Brother Akil will be on with me this Friday. And we're going to talk about Asada Shakur. It's a presentation we were supposed to have done, but we never had a chance to, didn't get a chance to do it. So we're going to do it this Friday. Brother Akil Parker out of Philadelphia is going to be my guest again. And we're going to talk about some sisters. And one particularly, Asada Shakur. Also, too, before next week and before it's out, and I know next week Friday is, quote, Good Friday, and I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, I know. Some people say, you shouldn't talk about that, man. You know, no, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that from an African perspective. I know that we as Africans have embraced or been forced to embrace. Let's you know me on this program, let's keep it real. Let's keep the language proper. We have been forced to embrace Christianity. You know, and I know Brother Oshie, you know, there was Christians, you know, the Coptics and so forth. And man. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again next Friday. Christianity is one of the main deterrents. Christianity is one of the main things that prevents us from uniting, from coming together. And any other religion that is not African, any other theology, any other practice that is not African, prevents us from uniting. And we need that more today than ever before, because our lives are in a tenuous position. That's what I'm saying, we need each other. Brothers and sisters need to come together to battle the evil mindset of this world. We're going to take a break. But when we come back from that break, we're going to talk more about our women, give more praise to our sisters. We're going to talk about five of the greatest warrior queens from the continent. And any more discussion that any other discussion that you may want to have. So brothers, and you know, dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 to be a part of the conversation. Okay? Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was Ramsey Lewis and Earth, Wind, and Fire from way back in the day. Sun Goddess, because that's what we're talking about. Talking about the beautiful sisters in our history, in our lives, and how important they are for us. The other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. So tonight, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that is followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That is followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. From 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Sister Talk at from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. The website for Mama Bayina Bello, I'm on it. It looks beautiful. You can register on it. Once again, I'm going to spell this out for you. www.fondasyonfelicite.com. And you can register on that. It looks great. Of course, she's going to be, Mama Bayina will be, that's this Thursday from 1 to 3. She'll be with Professor Smalls, Dr. Wade Nobles, Sister Giselle Dante. That's an attorney out of Haiti. I've heard her on Brother Elliot on Time for an Awakening. Outstanding. Dr. Renoka Rashidi. And there's Ambassador Daniel Saplace. And there's another person. I can't pronounce their name, so I'm not going to try. Okay? But you can register on that. And, of course, there is no cost. They're seeking donations if you want to donate. There's a donation button. So it is free. And so if you are free, it is free. So if you are free from 1 to 3, please check it out. We're talking today about our sisters, African sisters. And these are the top 5 warrior queens. And then we'll get off into some other things that are happening and, of course, take your calls. And excuse me. And if you want to change the subject because there's something that you want to discuss or something that's on your mind, that's we'll be free to do so. So these are the top 5 African warrior queens. We gave you the top 5 ancient Kemetic queens from kings, the sisters who ruled as king, who ruled as pharaoh. Of course, we know Hatshepsut, and she ruled for 21 years. You know, in fact, as Brother home team stated that she would be one of considered one of the top 10 pharaohs in over 30 dynasties that ruled ancient Kemet for thousands of years. Thousands of years.
Black women have always been at the forefront of any movement or revolution. In fact, I'll go as far and say that without black women, most revolutions or movements wouldn't even happen or function properly. Now, from the outside looking in, some observers may be under the impression that black women have been forced into the role of battle, especially due to the circumstances they've been put under. But upon further observation, it becomes very clear that the ancestors of black women have always been willing participants and even initiators of battle. What up, African world? It's your boy Home Team here. I'm back at it with another video of African history, culture, and worldview. And remember, you guys can support the Home Team banner on Patreon to gain full access to sources and full African history lessons. All you gotta do is check out the link in the description box below. Anyway, today we're gonna talk about the top 5 African warrior queens straight out of the continent. Now, for the longest time, outside observers, aka non-Africans, seem to not only acknowledge, but respect the fighting spirit of African women. In more recent times, the French and their interaction with the West African Amazonians, known today as the Dahomey Amazons, wrote about these warriors as having, and I quote, incredible courage and audacity. They weren't there just as props. They bodied other African kingdoms. And the unique thing about African women was not that they were simply fighting in battle, but they also initiated war. Ya Asantewe is a prime example, as she single-handedly started the War of the Golden Stool. Referring to more ancient times, the presence of female African warriors is also noted and even romanticized. The Greeks created legends of Queen Marina and what they called the Candace Queens of ancient Kush. They were astonished that these women would literally participate in battle. Now, this list is going to be unique, right? Because these women weren't your ordinary trash-talking warfare initiators. The majority of the following African women you're about to hear from were literally present on the battlefield. In other words, these women were the baddest of the bad. So without further ado, here's the top 5 greatest African queens in the entire history of the continent. Coming in at number 5, we have Princess Yanenga. Now, Princess Yanenga eventually became a queen, but her legend started when she was just a princess. Her father was a king of a region in northern Ghana, and she was said to be the most beautiful girl in all the kingdom. But that wasn't what was unique about her. She was actually hailed as being an excellent horse rider and warrior, a master, if you will, with the bow and spear. She is said to have been a better rider than most of the men, and one of the top warriors in all of the kingdom. She was highly favored in the kingdom, and her father absolutely adored her. But like many women, she wanted to get married, and her father thought to himself, how can I lose such an excellent warrior and leader to marriage? So he refused to allow Princess Yanenga to get married. This pained Princess Yanenga deeply. So to express how she felt, she planted a lush field of wheat, but she didn't take care of it and allowed it to rot. When her father inquired about why she allowed such a beautiful field of wheat to rot, she said, "You see, father, as precious as you say I am, still you let me rot like the wheat in this field." However, that didn't work, as her father hardened his heart, so she ran away, fighting off foes trying to capture her, and started her own nation. This nation is the region of Burkina Faso today. Princess Yanenga became the queen mother of Burkina Faso and a legendary warrior figure in all of West Africa. Being the queen warrior mother of any nation is why Princess Yanenga is ranked so high amongst all African warrior queens. At number four, we have Queen Gudi. Queen Gudi is a legendary queen from Ethiopia, believed to be descended from the Sidamo people. Some scholars say that she was of Jewish religion and apparently despised the Christian empire of Aksum. She, according to Aksumite oral and written tradition, was a woman scorned. For whatever reason, she despised the Aksumite dynasty and nearly relinquished the entire genetic line of Aksumite royalty. She is said to have laid waste to Aksum and its countryside, destroying churches and monuments. She killed the emperor and ascended to the throne, reigning pretty much until her death. The Aksumite Empire was a pretty well-established state, and the fact that she utterly ravaged and destroyed it, starting a new line of Ethiopian kings and queens, is very significant. Her actions single-handedly influenced the future of Ethiopia and started a nation. In Ethiopia today, she is known as Esato, literally meaning fire. Breaking our top three, we have Queen Nzinga of Angola. Now, I have to admit that I really wanted to rank her higher because she is definitely one of my all-time favorites. Queen Nzinga has a very special place in my heart. With that being said, Queen Nzinga breaks our top three because she was born and bred in fire. Her story is incredible, and there's even been a movie done about her. Since birth, legend has it that the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck, almost killing her. So from jump, she had to fight for her life. She, like Princess Yanenga, was also favored by her father, and he reportedly took her to battle with him. I mean, everything about this woman from jump screams legendary. Honestly, we would be here all day telling all the stuff this queen has done, as it's well documented. But to sum it up, Queen Nzinga is hailed as not only being a warrior queen, literally being present on the battlefield, but she was a powerful ambassador, demonstrating the ability to manipulate foreign and domestic politics in her favor. She was absolutely brilliant. You see, she wasn't exactly legitimate. Her mother, if we're all honest, was pretty much a side piece to her father, the king. So her entire life, she had somewhat of a struggle for legitimacy. But not only did she get the Portuguese to acknowledge and respect her rule, she also got Mbundu detractors to bow. As long as she was alive, the Portuguese were never able to gain a stronghold over the region. Today, she's recognized and remembered for displaying brilliant political and diplomatic acumen, implementing superb military tactics. One quote that Queen Nzinga left us that ironically sums up her political relationship with the Portuguese is this: "Europeans, you don't know what's good." That speaks volumes concerning her political and militaristic confidence, if you will. Coming in at number two, the second greatest warrior queen of Africa is little known and discussed. Her name is Queen Amina. Now, Queen Amina was a Hausa warrior, queen of northwest Nigeria. In many ways, Queen Amina is actually similar to Queen Gudi, but two big things seems to separate them. For one, Queen Amina is said to have actually led her troops in battle, conquering many cities like Katsina and Kano. And Queen Amina is also hailed as being a pioneer to her people. Not only was she the greatest female conqueror of West Africa, expanding her territory and forcing others to pay tribute, she is hailed as being the first to establish government among the Hausa people themselves. Leading your troops into battle and being a pioneer for your people are extraordinary characteristics for not only a queen, but a warrior that actually fights in battle. And what we've all been waiting for, coming in at number one, the greatest African warrior queen was Queen Amonarenes. Now, Queen Amonarenes was a queen of the ancient kingdom of Kush, with its headquarters believed to be in the ancient city of Meroe. The queens of Kush were probably some of the most popular queens in the ancient world because they were well known for literally fighting in battle. They were known as Kandaki queens,
and Queen Amarina is descended from a long line of them. She is most known for her conflict with Rome, as Rome tried to tax Nubians living in Egypt, which she opposed. The Romans have their account written by Strabo, which obviously favors the Roman perspective. But unfortunately, we don't have the full perspective because Queen Amarina has a written account on a stela and Meroitic script, a script that we have difficulty translating. We know in the end that Queen Amarina chopped off the head of a statue of Augustus and buried it under her temple as a sign of disrespect and varying battles taking place that led to a treaty being signed. In this treaty, the Kushites got everything they wanted, including the tax revolt. Her presence on the battlefield was noted, as she is said to have a scarred eye. Her bravery and composure in her conflict with the Romans is legendary, as she protected her people by halting potential Roman ambition in the region. She just wasn't having it, and was apparently ready for anything that came her way. According to legend, Kushite ambassadors in their diplomatic dialogue with the Romans are quoted as bringing a message from the queen. One of the Kushite envoys gallantly presents the Romans a beautiful bundle of golden arrows and said the following words: "This gift is from the Candace. If you want peace, this is a token of her warmth and friendship. If you want war, keep the arrows, because you're going to need them." It seems clear that the Kushites did not appear as beaten foes because of the aggressive message brought to the Romans. That is the most epic response to the most powerful military on earth at the time. Her leadership, guidance, determination, and grit is second to none when it comes to African warrior queens. Well, I'm pretty much all out, guys. If you want full access to all the sources and full African history courses, you can support the home team on patreon.com. The link is in the description box below. It's your boy, home team. Know thyself. Remember your ancestors. Peace.
Know thyself. Remember your ancestors. Ashe. Yeah. Man. Some beautiful women. Some strong women. Women who were African. Who understood the importance of being African. And who would fight to maintain being African. Now, I remember listening to Dr. Clark, who, if you listen to this program, you know I have a great admiration and respect and love for. But he was talking about Cleopatra the VII and how she wanted to preserve the Ptolemaic reign over Kemet against the Romans. And I understand that, because she, you know, they embraced, but admit, to be Kemetic. You know, they embraced it. They're in their dress, in many of the traditions. Medunecher or hieroglyphs, the temple, everything. They embraced it for those, 100-some years of the Ptolemaic, 300 some years of Ptolemaic rule before it fell to the Romans. And it is admirable. I mean, you know, they embraced being Kemetic people, and they wanted to maintain that. And her thing was, she wanted to maintain that. She didn't want to be under Roman rule. She wanted to be Egyptian. Not even Greek. Alexander the so-called great, he rejected going back to Greece. He was buried in Kemet. His generals, who later became the Ptolemies, they maintained that and they studied. As we know, there are many as our great ancestors. George G.M. James had presented that the Greek philosophy and all the things associated with Greek was plagiarized, was stolen. All the way from the beginning of Socrates to Plato and Aristotle. It was stolen. The Greek schools, Pythagoras, all of them, they were pledgers. They were thieves. But yet, in European studies, and I remember even back when I was in school, they hailed the Greeks as just some of the greatest people, the greatest minds in human history. And of course, not knowing this African history, and of course, whatever is taught in the schools. And I'm quite sure it was not just public schools, it was parochial schools, private schools, whatever it was in Western society, in the United States, Europe, it was their truth. And that's why even today, even though Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop and Dr. Theophilo Benga won the argument at the symposium in 74 in Cairo, they won it. They proved that the ancient Kemetic people were African. They proved it. But once again, brothers and sisters, you have to understand that Europeans, Caucasians, suffer from cognitive dissonance. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the proof. So even today, if you check out National Geographic, the Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, you name it, movies. The most recent movie was, and of course, you know, Ten Commandments will be on next weekend. The Ten Commandments movie that I saw as a child, basically, I went with my uncle, went to the theater, to the show in the 60s. Might have been like 60, I don't know, I might have been about 10, 12, or the same age as my youngest grandson, thereabouts. And, you know, saw the movie. It was long, had an intermission, but it was very captivating because of the cinematography and the animation of that time. It's even deeper today. You know, and so the latest one was the Exodus, with Christian Bale as Moses, and some little boy as the Spirit of God, and some Arab dude has Ramesses. You know. So, the discussion, in fact, Ra'a Nefer Amon, the Shekhama Shekhama, had attended the discussion. Did the exorcist really happen? And many of the European Jewish scholars had to admit that it did not. The Exodus did not happen. And like I said, we're going to go into some depth on that, because not that I'm just trying to bash Christianity and bash Judaism and bash Islam. I ain't bashing no damn religion, but what I'm trying to say is that if you are a member of that theology, that's fine. And if you feel that there's salvation, that's fine. But these are proselytizing religions, and these religions seek converts. And as a consequence, these people believe these theologies, and they're not African. In fact, it's a detriment to African unity. Christianity particularly, but all of them, if they're not African. And so we're going to talk about that next weekend. And I know, some of us who are Christian, particularly this is, of all the times, this is the most important for Christians, because this is what their whole faith is based upon, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, for their salvation, for their belief that no matter what the hell happens on this damn planet, that they're going to be saved. And so, like I said, they proved in terms of the Exodus that it did not happen. It is not historical. Jesus the Christ. And that's the thing, when you look at the warrior scholar, Sister Marimba Ani's book, which of course to me is the Bible. That's the Bible, damn it. Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. That's the Bible. Read that. Read the portion on religion in that book. Because she clearly states that the European theology of Christianity must be, it has to be historical. It has to be. It must be. Everything else is false. Everything else is fantasy. Everything else is, you know, trivial. Fairy tale. Allegory. But theirs is historical. Theirs is truth. Theirs is real. When everything that is based on happened thousands of years previous. But that's the thing that's happened thousands of years previous. That's, that, you know, this is what they say is the truth, the light. This is the physical manifestation. This is historical. Where you can't find a damn placard, a marker, any of that proving that that's happened. There's none of, if these 12 disciples are so great, why ain't there something about them mugs? But you can find from thousands of years previous to that, in ancient Kemet, all kinds of proof and mummies, mummification. They had that knowledge. Why didn't they mummify some of them dudes? And say, here lies John, or here lies Matthew, here lies whoever. But you must believe it. You are made to believe it. You are made to believe it under the threat of eternal death, of fear, false evidence of proving real. That's my brother, Kwaku. Fear, that's what we're under, fear. Let me pick out, let me put, go back to honoring our sister, because I'm going to be on this all next week pretty much. Not necessary, but I'll definitely be on this on Friday, on so-called Good Friday. I'm definitely going to be on that. But, of course, honoring sisters, there have been some beautiful sisters, like I said, in our history here in America, some strong sisters. I like the warrior sisters. I like the sisters who fought against, you know, I'm not saying I don't like Maxine Waters. I don't, you know, I'm not saying I don't like, you know, Michelle Obama or any of those others. They're all right for what they have done, for what they do. Well, you know, I can't stand Barack Obama. I'm sorry, I cannot stand. Because let me tell you why I can't stand Barack Obama. Because of what happened to Muammar Gaddafi and the potential for Africa being. See, I'm all about African liberation. I don't give a damn about what happens here in this country. Breaking down social barriers. And inclusion, and diversity, integrations, assimilation. I ain't about that shit. I'm about African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. I'm about Africans controlling their land and their resources and building for their future and their people. That's what I'm about. I mean, I'll talk about whatever, but I'm telling you, that's the bottom line. And so that's why I'm down with the sisters who challenged these Caucasians academically, Shashi McIntyre and many of the other sisters who were strong in that sense, who challenged the system. They didn't, you know, they weren't like Barbara Jordan. I mean, Barbara Jordan of Texas, she's one of the first strong women in Congress. You know, Shirley Chisholm ran for president. In fact, there's gonna be a movie out on Shirley Chisholm, you know, and they're beautiful sisters in their own right, but they ain't warriors. I'm talking about sisters who would, you know, lay their life on the line, like a Ida B. Wells and Fannie Lou Hamer. But there are also some present day warriors on the continent, some sisters who have done some great things. And Tanzania has a new president. It is a sister. And Sister Samia Suluhulu Hassan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. She's the new president. The president died. On Wednesday evening, she had the task of announcing to Tanzanians that President John Magufuli had died, and now Vice President Samia Hassan has taken his place as the country's head of state. First elected as Magufuli's running mate in 2015, she was reelected last year along with him, and according to the Constitution, she should serve out the rest of the five-year term in the top job. She becomes Africa's only current female leader. Ethiopia's president is largely ceremonial and joins a short list of women on the continent who have run their countries. The 61-year-old, affectionately known as Mama Samia, is Tanzanian culture that reflects the respect she is held in rather than reducing her to a gender role. She was a surprise choice for running mate in 2015, leaping over several other more prominent politicians in the party, which had been in power in one form or another since independence in 1961. First elected to public office in 2000, she came to national prominence in 2014 as the first vice chairperson of the Constitutional Assembly, created to draft a new constitution. There her calm demeanor in managing occasional outbreaks of pandemonium and the way in which she dealt with some of the more outspoken members earned her platitudes. In terms of personality, she strikes a contrast. It's a contrast between her and Magufuli, where he appeared impulsive, not afraid to speak off the cuff and let his feelings be known. She is more thoughtful and considered. She is also said to be a good listener who believes in following the correct procedures. She's a capable leader. One prime minister, Mukemba, who worked with her in the vice president's office, called her the most underrated politician in Tanzania. I have observed at close quarters her work ethic, decision-making, and temperament. She is a very capable leader, he said. But where this places her in terms of policy is not yet clear. Most significantly, she has still to announce whether she will continue her predecessor's skeptical approach to dealing with the coronavirus. As you may know or don't know, they've taken an anti-vaccine and anti-coronavirus. That's why I talked to another brother about what's happening in Tanzania as it relates to the coronavirus. The cautionary tale of the president who denied the coronavirus. And this is his obituaries, also to a link in the countries that's rejecting the corona vaccine. They're rejecting. Let me just say this very quickly, because I'm going to talk about this at some length again on the corona vaccine. Now, the fourth vaccine has been approved. The fourth vaccine has been approved. So now there's four vaccines, all of them varying in terms of effectiveness. I don't know why. They're all synthetic vaccines. They're not the vaccines of the previous with, you know, the disease itself would be in the vaccine to help make you immune. There may be other stuff in the vaccines, embryos and all that kind of stuff. But these are totally synthetic vaccines. And I did that piece on that one brother who talked about the kind of vaccine that it is. And so there are four of them, and I don't know why they all say that they're all good for some degree, anywhere from 75% to 90-some%. But one thing they all say is that they all prevent you from getting real sick and possible death. And I think for anybody who wants to take the vaccine, that's the thing that's most assured to them. But once again, as I stated earlier, I think we need to look at whatever. You make that decision for yourself. So let me finish up talking about this sister. I'm only talk about her for a little bit more, and then I'm going to open up the lines. We ain't got that much time. There was no doubt that she was loyal to the president, but she was not afraid to strike out on her own. In 2005, when he was a minister of labor, gender development, and children in Zanzibar, she overturned a ban on young mothers returning to school after giving birth. When Muguf Ali was national president, he insisted that a similar ban be implemented on the mainland. It is not clear whether she opposed this stance in government, but perhaps the most significant evidence of that was in 2017 when she visited opposition leader Lissu in a hospital in Kenyan capital Nairobi after he had survived an assassination attempt. With people speculating that state agents had been involved in the pictures of the visit sent shockwaves through the country. Mr. Lissu went into exile afterwards, returning briefly to take part in elections last year, but went back to live in Belgium. Belgium. I hate Belgium. He went back to live in Belgium, saying he had received more death threats. So you go run to the cracker. Jesus. Despite being vice president since 2015 and having served as a state minister in previous government, little is known about Miss Sumia's private life. She was born in 1960 in Zanzibar, the semi-autonomous island off the coast of mainland Tanzania, where she went on to study public administration first in Tanzania and then as a postgraduate of the UK, Manchester University. See, you know, that's a problem as far as I'm concerned. Most of the leadership has been educated by Europeans. Most of the leadership has been educated in the West by Europeans, whether it's here in the United States or whether it's in Europe or wherever else. In 1978, she married Amira, who is known to be an agricultural academic, but has also kept a low profile. Since Miss Samia became vice president, the two have not been pictured together. They have four children, with one, Amira, who is currently a member of the Zanzibar House of Representatives. Okay. And then they got a number of other people who have been sisters who have been, because the current president of Ethiopia is a sister. But like they said, it's marginally or symbolically ceremonial. But many of the other sisters who, like in Liberia, Sister Ruth Perry in 1996 to 1997, 1993, Sylvia she became president of Burundi following the killing. Well, yeah. You know, I'm definitely down for women leadership, and I support women leadership. I am not, you know, somebody who believes that women should be kept in the kitchen. As I said, we need each other, and we need each other on the front lines. We need each other for that kind of support, to be compliments, to stand side by side in this battle. And it's a battle. It is a fight. I wish that sister good luck. I wish her the best. Yeah. So we need each other, brothers and sisters. This is Women's Month. And so I'm going to try to have discussions on women for the rest of the time that I have this month, except for next Friday. I'm going to talk about the High Holy Day and give a perspective on it. I hope that you will join me in dialogue. Hope you can join me right now in dialogue. We have a few people online. You can hit star twice. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Adios, what's poppin', baby?
Jay, how was your weekend, man? How you doing?
Oh man, my weekend was good, man. The weather was nice. Was able to do a little bit of running around.
Good.
Hung out with the queen for a hot minute, and you know, just basically watch your sick brother and loving their daddy. You know what I mean? That's all. I mean, what more could you expect? Now, listen, right quick, with this vaccination thing, knowing the history of America and knowing the history of the white man, you got to be a bubbling fool to take this vaccination if there's alternatives out there.
Yeah.
Now, we heard Brother Aleem last night on
right.
the show.
Right. I missed
talking
that.
About a,
yeah, I missed that.
Oh, man.
Tell me a little about it, because I know...
Well, he was just basically talking about the vaccination and what they was doing and how they were putting together trial studies and, you know, how this was a much better alternative than taking this vaccination, which we really don't know. And our great brother Ralph called in and he explained how he and his queen is taking it and, you know, how he's feeling good. And then you had your boy Research West call in talking about how he's taking it and he's going to get it for his queen. I was a little shocked he had a queen. But, you know, hey.
That's not to the brother Ralph. Brother West.
The thing is, the bottom line is, my whole thing is, why isn't, you know, brothers like Dr. Aleem and some of the other individuals being presented to the media as an alternative. And whereas anybody that's talking about an alternative to this vaccination is being shut down by the main media. I know a brother that I follow that's been on Time of Awakening numerous times, the Minister of Wellness. He had mm-hmm. thousands of videos up on YouTube.
They're all
they
gone.
Absolutely took down
They're all
of
gone.
His videos
yep.
and shut down his page.
Yep.
Now what happens is he got to open up a site to where as people got to pay for it. Everybody can't afford it, and everybody can't pay for it. So, I mean, there's some treachery going on with this whole vaccination thing that our people just ain't getting.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you try to expose them to information. You ask them to look at alternative information, but they don't want to. They want to follow Negroes like Roland Martin and the rest.
Yeah.
Well, MSNBC, CNN, and all of these other media outlets who are strictly about the dollar. But, you know, how could you have a fair and just society and not have it in place to where as there's alternative information and a debate in regards to this? You know what I mean? It's just treachery. It's pure
yeah, because,
evil
but see,
and
the
treachery.
Thing is, in this society, once again, Brother Brother Jay, we know what we're dealing with. We know where we're at. We're in America. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And so they don't want any competition. They don't want any diverse opinions and anything alternative, nothing. You going to get the vaccine, okay? Now that the AstraZeneca vaccine is going to be approved, you got Johnson & Johnson, you got Pfizer, and you got Moderna. You got these four vaccines. All of them, there's variances, there's difference, which should not be the case because they're all supposed to be synthetic. Why they're all effective from 75% to 90-some percent is beyond me, but I don't give a damn because I ain't taking it. But and also, too, though, you know, I'm saying to brothers and sisters, you know, search your own mind. If you feel you want to take it, you take it, you know?
But now, Oshi, think about this right clearly. What are they saying? They're saying that the vaccination is going to prevent you from doing what? Dying. It's not eliminating the virus. It's not doing the necessary things to remove the virus from society. They're just saying that it's supposed to be used to keep you from dying. Now, lastly, in regards to the sister in Tanzania, if she goes along with this vaccination thing, based on the numbers of people that have been affected with this Tanzania thing, you know something ain't right or kosher. Because there's a lot of places in the world that, you know, are not getting an outcry of this virus the way that America is because of the reckless behavior
right.
of the individual. Now, watch what type of spike will happen within the next 2 weeks because of these young fools that were in Miami that are now going back home.
Right.
So, hey, brother, all I could say is be careful. Do what you have to do to protect yourself and your family, but stay the hell away from that vaccination.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm saying the same thing to a degree. I'm leaving that decision, whether you want to get vaccinated or not, up to you. I'm not opponent or proponent. I'm just trying to put out the information to help you make an intelligent decision. That's why I love to have heard Dr. Aleem last night. And what is that program he has? I can't remember the name of it, but it's a program he has.
I forget the name.
Yeah,
so I
me too.
Trouble
right.
pronouncing it. But,
right, but I know
it's, Black something.
Yeah, but I know brother.
You know, but,
yeah, but I know brother Ralph is taking it along with his wife, you know, his queen. They're taking it, and a few others. And you said Research West is taking it.
Yeah, research said that he's taking it. You know what I mean? And which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad to see that my man Research has faith in our people, man.
Yeah.
Like we're supposed to.
Yeah. So, you know,
let's just stay focused, man.
Well,
let's,
you know, one of the things that I think that you definitely can do is do those precautionary things. Wear a mask. Keep your distance. Keep your hands clean. Take vitamin D. Get out in the sun. Sunlight gives you vitamin D. That's one of the things that have been clear from Jump Street. I'm talking about since the thing jumped off last year around this time. Around April, May, they said, vitamin D. You know, they also had said if you felt it, then you should inhale fumes because it helps. Because, see, once the virus enters in to your nasal passages, but if it gets into your lungs, just like pneumonia, when it gets into your lungs, that's the damage. That's where it can be fatal. That's what required some people to have a coma to be induced so they could be on a respirator, and many of them did not wake
up.
All
I could tell you is, Oshi, the closest I ever felt to death and seeing one would say death was when I had water on my lungs.
Yeah, that's what pneumonia is.
It's no joke. And I had gotten damaged because of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, we don't understand, honestly, that whenever you deal with things, you got to investigate it. You can't just word of the white man. You're a fool. You're a fool. If you take the word of the white man, you're a fool.
Well, I mean, let's say it this way, Jay. They have proven time and time again for millennial to be liars. If
cheaters,
you're in
robbers,
if you're in a jury trial,
murderers,
I think
homosexuals, degenerate, low lives,
a plethora.
Anything that's evil is the white man.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
So
we just take after it and at some stages in our development as human beings. But the white man has implemented everything evil on the planet.
Yeah, they're purveyors of evil. There's no doubt. And Dr. King said, I, the most violent people on the planet is the United States. You know, I believe my country is the most violent country. And you're right. But the point I was making in this situation is that, you know, if you are on a jury trial and you, just like Mark Furman, you remember Mark Furman, right?
No good cracker.
Exactly.
Course.
So he lied. And so even though Mark Furman could have blown the case open about OJ, everything he said, because he had proven to be a liar, was scratched. He's done. And just like in life, if you are proven to be a liar, ain't not a damn thing that comes out of your mouth should be believed. And so
then
therefore,
why is everything the cracker say still believed?
Because he has
got
control.
A spell?
Yes. He has control. He bombards you consistently. That's why many people, you had some people foolishly saying, well, you know, I seen this one placard. His brother said, well, you know, they did this to us with the Tuskegee experiment. Now they're making amends. Now they're going to make it. Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes.
So the vaccination is amends for the crackers' evil.
Yes. That's what he's saying. The development of this vaccine against this virus. You know, which of course people believe that the virus itself was created, you know, and maybe not just by Chinese, but probably by an international group of scientists whose design, listen, Jay, whose design is population control, which of course is promoted by Fauci and what's his name? Gates, Bill Gates. And Western and Europeans. What you call said himself, we got to do something about Africa. With Prince Harry or whatever, I don't give a damn. He said, we got to do something about Africa. There's too many Africans. You know, the animals, man, you know, their habitats are being encroached. There's too many. We got to do something about decreasing the numbers. I mean, they're saying this openly. It's just like the Caucasians said it openly about why we must keep Africa poor. A lot of times, brothers, it ain't clandestine. It ain't hidden. It ain't. No, it's right up, damn it, front. They're saying it.
Right in your face.
Right in your face.
Right smack dab in your face. Smacking you in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Letting you know.
And
we go for it.
And yet you believe that somehow, well, maybe what they're saying is not really true and they're going to have a change of heart and they're going to be more humane and they're going to embrace humanity and diversity and all that. Stop it. They haven't done it. They ain't going to do it. They haven't done it. It has not happened now and it ain't going to happen, damn it.
I think black folks really, really feel that it is going to happen.
Well, we hope does.
That
yes.
The cracker is going to change his behavior
yes.
to the sickle cell Negroes.
Yes. Because we believe that somehow, somewhere they'll have an epiphany and realize that, and they will all share in this planet together in kumbaya. Yes. Yes, they do. That's why I'm saying we must control Africa. That is our salvation. That is our land. It's ancestral. It is ours. We ain't got to debate about it. We ain't got to fight no damn body about it. Only thing we got to do is come together with the right mindset. Africans on the planet, Africans in the diaspora, neutralize them Chinese, neutralize the Indians, neutralize them Caucasians, run our stuff. If we owe you something that is legitimate, we'll pay you for it. But actually, we don't owe you shit. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We don't owe you sugar, honey, iced tea. We don't.
I like the first one myself.
Yeah, I hear you. Me too, man. But damn it.
But I mean, you know, the bottom line is this, O, in all seriousness. Like you said, it's your right as an individual to make the choice on mm-hmm. whatever you wish to do regarding the vaccination.
Right.
But at least I hope that you be intelligent about it and look at some alternatives that if it's able to do the job, you stay away from that
mm-hmm.
because it ain't no good. That vaccination, I believe, over the years will show to have been probably the worst thing that could have ever happened to African people. But I'll leave you with this. It's what are we going to do and what position are we going to be in as a collective of those who don't want to take the vaccination if they put forward a national registry.
Mm-hmm.
What position are we going to be in to deal with this, to address it? In all honesty, you know, I'm not going to never back down to take a vaccination. So will I be restricted with certain things? Maybe so, but it's worth the restriction as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I mean, for me, I want to go out of the country, and it may be a requirement to get out of the country, you know, that you have.
Well, what choice do you make?
I don't know yet.
Then take it. I wouldn't take it regardless.
I don't know, Jay. All depends.
There's some alternatives in place. There has to be a turning this in place, because you can't make something like the vaccination the point to where you have to take it. It ain't happening. I don't see it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Jay, my time is up.
Hotep, my brother, as always.
Hotep, Jay,
enjoy your day.
You
too. Till Wednesday when we meet again.
All right, dear brother.
Keep yourself protected from the cracker.
Yes,
Shield yourself with that African warrior spirit that will keep the cracker at bay. No good filthy bastard. Hotep,
right,
brother.
On. Hotep, dear brother. Peace, Jay. You stay safe too, man. And to all our listeners, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you back here again on Wednesday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifohorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday. Peace, family.